Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
They get Brandon Ayuk. That holdout or hold-in is over. Trent Williams is back with the team. What's your perspective now? With those two guys reunited, how do you see the Niners?
Pretty much as I saw them going into it, Amy, but with a caveat. And the caveat is this. Holdouts, hold-ins, I don't have any empirical evidence in front of me, but I have enough of what I've watched over the years. How many times do you see these long holdouts, hold-ins, where the player doesn't play quite as well as you would expect, or an injury crops up and it lingers, things of that nature? Look, you and I both know, going to training camp and going to full camp is no guarantee that you're going to have a great year.
Right.
But holding out, holding in, again, no guarantees, but how many of those guys have we seen, you know? Now you pull a hammy. Now you do this. Now you do that. So I just worry about that part. Now, if they get through that and they get their legs under them and they're ready to rock and roll, well, by the time you start to make that big playoff push and you have those guys at full go, then you got to love what the Niners have in front of them.
Now, that would potentially be injury from football. What happened with their first-round draft pick, Ricky Pearsall, and the fact that he was spared any serious injury? I know he's on the non-injury list for these first 4 weeks, but, man, to think about that and how that could have been so different, Charles.
4 weeks of missed games versus what goes through your mind when you hear that a person has been shot.
Right.
It's nothing. Right? In the grand scheme of things, he misses 4 weeks of ball. Shot in the chest, and it passes through and hits no major organs. Amy, I have no vocabulary for that, other than thankful, right?
Yes.
Grateful, all of those things. What are the absolute odds of something like that happening? So I'm just so happy for Ricky Pearsall, his family, everyone else involved. That was the culmination of that heinous act. I still can't believe this is what we're talking about. He's missing four games? Okay, cool. I mean, he's alive. It doesn't sound like the injury is something that's going to prevent him from chasing his dream and applying his craft. Amazing.
I will call it miraculous. At just 23 years old, that he avoids any serious injuries and was out of the hospital in 24 hours, which is also astounding.
They said he walked to the ambulance.
Right. Actually, there's video of it. Yes.
I was like, what?
It's amazing. So you were talking about hold-ins, hold-outs. The Cincinnati Bengals are still dealing with a contract situation when it comes to their top wide receiver, Ja'Marr Chase. This is the game that you and Ian Eagle will call Sunday, week one. How does this change or impact the Bengals?
We don't know yet, because all of this is, as Zach Taylor, the head coach, has said. Remember, he went to the podium and proudly announced that, hey, Ja'Marr's going to practice. And the very next day, he came out 13 minutes late in street clothes, like, no. and he went, you know, I think we'll just call him, you know, we'll just have to deal with it day to day. And that's where we are. Now, the one thing Zach Taylor has said consistently is he's up on all the playbook. He's in all the meetings. He's not saying it, but we're getting all these accounts. He's doing his own workout, and Zach believes he's in excellent shape. So it feels like, hey, if he decides to play on Sunday, he'll play, and we expect him to be pretty darn good. My thing is, will he play? We don't know that. And if he does, okay, terrific. This is how the Bengals look. But if he doesn't, here's the one thing the Bengals have in their advantage. T. Higgins. T. was drafted, and remember, Tyler Boyd was the top receiver for the Bengals. He'd gone back-to-back years of 1,000 yards. He was their guy. They draft T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd became wide receiver two immediately. T. Higgins, 1,000 yards, 1,000 yards. They draft Jamar Chase. Everyone bumps back one more spot. Boyd goes to number three. Higgins goes to two, and here he is at one. Now, remember, Higgins had a contract thing. He was one of eight receivers that were fighting over contracts? He's the only one who didn't get an extension. He finally signed his franchise tag. He said, I just want to be done with it. I don't want to deal with it anymore. But you know deep inside, Amy, if he ends up being the top guy on Sunday, he's going to want to put on a show to show the world, hey, remember, at the end of this year, I'm available for the taking, and yes, I am a wide receiver one. So that would play in the Bengals' favor if indeed Chase doesn't play, because I think T. Higgins would be, how would we say it, ultra-motivated.
Yeah. Charles Davis is with us here on After Hours with Amy Lawrence, partnered with Ian Eagle. They've got the Bengals hosting the Patriots coming up in week number one in the NFL on CBS. What's the best thing about working with Ian?
Oh, my God. hard to narrow it down to one thing, but I will say this. He makes me chase excellence all the time. I don't know that I'll get there. Vince Lombardi's talked about all the time. That you're going to chase excellence with everything you do, and you may not get there, but then you get to great. But Ian is excellence, so I have to chase that in order to try and keep up and hold up my end of the bargain. He's so sharp. He's so smart. His work ethic is without compare. You name it. Phenomenal person. Wonderful teammate. Everything that you're looking for. But every game, he says something, and I go, I feel like Billy Blaze in Night Shift. You know, I thought of that first, but I didn't say it, you know? And the idea is really, I didn't think of it first. How come he always thinks of the good line? How come I can't keep up with that and get a good line? That's what I think all the time. I actually said that to him on air last year. I was like, you always do it before I can get there. Just let me get there one time.
Charles, you used to work for a different network alongside Kevin Burkhardt, who now has Tom Brady as his analyst. What would you tell Tom about working as an analyst for the first time, but alongside Kevin?
Oh, just enjoy the heck out of it, because Kevin Burkhardt is phenomenal.
Yes.
And he's a phenomenal person as well. And think about me. This is how lucky I've been, all right? My last few partners, Gus Johnson, Kevin Burkhardt, Ian Eagle. I don't know if I sold my soul somewhere and don't realize it, Amy. These are the people that I get to stand next to, work with, learn from, you know, be around, the whole deal. That's a pretty strong list right there. Tom Brady gets to work with Kevin Burkhardt. I think he's going to have a ball.
Charles Davis is with us here from the NFL on CBS as we head into week number one. You've been doing this a long time. Of course, you were also in college football, not just as a DB yourself, but also as part of coaching staff and then administration. What are the emotions when football season rolls around again?
They're the best, because we all have the anticipation. And Amy, it's gotten to the point where the off season kicks in. I'm really happy to have off season. I love that there's a separation of time, right? But I can't go a day without running into someone going, God, I wish we had football right now. And I'm like, it's June. We're good. Okay? Just give it some time. And people are like, no, I need football. And then as we get closer, the juices start flowing. You know how it works, right? Your circadian rhythms come into play, and it's not for sleep. Some of the juices are the ex-player juices, where you feel it, even though you know you can't do it anymore, but you still feel it. Like, as an ex-player and playing at Tennessee, the third Saturday in October was when we played Alabama. That was tradition. That's what the game is called, third Saturday in October. That week, I still feel it. And if I didn't have a calendar, I would go, I can tell you it's the third week of October, folks, because I just react differently. That's just how it is. And it's kind of the same thing going into a season, like, it's time. Let's go have some fun.
We have a unique instance in week number one, where the Packers and Eagles are heading to South America and will play in Brazil, in Sao Paulo. I would say a mixed bag, because yes, there's this idea that you can connect with a whole different fan base and give them a product that they crave, but also we're hearing some of the players have told their families to stay home. Some of the players are saying, I'm not going to leave the hotel. Is it worth it, Charles?
So that's the question that remains to be answered in a lot of ways, and I think we'll have to see what the teams say when it's all over, because right now everything's anticipation. You know, this is what we've heard, this is what we don't really know at this point. I think that if you give any NFL group, team, whatever their druthers, they'd lean on routine more than anything else, right? Yeah, going and expanding it, okay, that's all fine and dandy, but I'd rather be playing at my home stadium. You know, I'd rather drive to the game. That's just a natural reaction. It's like when you talk to coaches. Hey, coach, you're 17 games this year. When do you want to play them? 1 o'clock every Sunday. Because the rhythm is there, right? The routine is there. You don't have to change anything. But you also know, as we well know in this league, if you play every Sunday at 1 o'clock, your team's not really that good. Because that means they never moved you to 425, right? They never moved you to a Sunday night game, a Thursday night game, a Monday night game. The best teams have to know how to handle the bumps and the different things that go. And that's part of what Green Bay and Philadelphia are doing here going to Brazil. All the other stuff, we'll hear more about it later. Mm. But going into it has to be, how do we handle this travel? How do we handle playing in a different country? How do we handle a crowd that may or may not react the way we're used to having it react? And the biggest thing is, how do we come out of there with a win on opening night?
On the heels of the college football weekend that spanned Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday with different games, the NFL is doing the same. Throwing a game on a Friday here, games on Tuesday here, now playing on Black Friday, playing on Christmas Day. Does this urban sprawl ever just blow you away?
It absolutely does. I'll put it to you this way, Amy. This year, before it was announced that they were going to play on Christmas Day, I knew Christmas fell on a Wednesday. I remember saying to my son, you know, I think the NBA has got to just be doing a happy dance right now. They get their day back. Because, you know, Amy, for so long, Christmas Day was the NBA's purview, right?
Yes.
And it started out with one Christmas Day game, then it went to two, then we had a triple header. Also, you look up, it was like six NBA games on Christmas Day, right? It became theirs to take over.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And the NFL said, you know, we want to get into the game. And once the NFL started playing on Christmas Day or in that region, everything went to heck, right? So I said to my son, I said, well, they're playing on Wednesday. This is kind of where the league kind of is, okay, we can't do it, right? I kind of figured Tuesday, Wednesday. No, they were like, no, we're going to play a doubleheader on Christmas Day. And I could just see Adam Silver's head hitting his desk going, are you kidding me? You've got to be freaking kidding me. They're going to play? And the league found a way to do it. The NFL right now, they're the ones. I tell people all the time, at my age, when I was a kid, you would open up the paper in the winter, especially in the north or other places cold, and when you saw the headline that said, pitchers and catchers report in the newspaper, that was like Groundhog Day. Hey, spring's coming. And then, you know, the note would be at the bottom of the page, Amy? A little blurb about the NFL draft. That was it. Nowadays, you'd be hard-pressed to know when pitchers and catchers report. The old hot stove league, which was when you talked about baseball. When's the last time you heard the term hot stove league?
Right.
Okay. Now, football is just dominated. Your season's over. We're into the run-up to the draft. Combine, 30 visits, all these things that we never talked about before. They are part of the lexicon, what people do all the time. That's how it is. It's just totally bypassed everything else. There you are, Christmas Day. NBA's like, we get it back. No, you don't.
Not even on a Wednesday.
Not even on a Wednesday.
Charles Davis is with us from the NFL on CBS, getting prepared for week number one. What do you want to see from the rookie quarterbacks who will be out there this first week of their NFL careers?
I want them to have the opportunity to play well. And when I say well, it doesn't have to be spectacular. I want to have solid openers. You know, I want them to get through that just fine. Now, a couple of them are probably going to have spectacular openers. It just kind of happens that way, right? People forget Cam Newton's first two games in the NFL. He threw for over 400 yards in both games. That was off of a strike year, so he didn't even have OTAs in minicamp. His first time with the team was in fall camp, and he went 400-400. Andy Dalton that year took his team to the playoffs with the Bengals. I think he went 11-5. So you will see some of that, you know? But solid starts, them getting their feet wet, team playing well. I think it's just fun to watch these youngsters come into the league and then to see how they develop, because all of them are not going to be great. The odds are against it. Which ones is it going to be out of the six quarterbacks that got drafted? We know three are going to start on opening day,
right?
A fourth game close in Drake May, how soon before he plays, and then we'll see what happens with the other guys, right? But right now, that's where we are. I think we're all just excited to see it unfold.
I definitely am. You mentioned Drake. You've got the Patriots-Bengals this weekend. And as you point out, there was a debate about whether or not they should throw the rookie into the fire. The offensive line with the Patriots is a work in progress, shall we say. What are the factors that you consider before you throw a rookie QB out behind a line that isn't as cohesive as maybe it needs to be?
Yeah, I think that if you have an option, and the Patriots feel like they do, that's one way you go. But I've heard my former CBS colleague Phil Simms talk about, well, you know, if he's your guy, he's got to learn to operate behind everything anyway. You know, Phil played a position and, you know, should have been a Super Bowl MVP, for God's sakes. What was he, 22 or 26 against Denver? Phenomenal. He gets it and understands that part too. And he's like, hey, if this quarterback is tough enough, he should be able to go through the fire. Everyone just looks at it differently. I think the Patriots with Jacoby Brissett, they're hoping that his ability to see things coming at him and maybe get the line into the right blocking assignment can cut down on some of that, that maybe Drake May can't do that quickly at this time. Because sometimes, you know, every time we see a quarterback get hit, we're thinking the offensive line failed. Sometimes the quarterback didn't put you in the right protection. And so right now I think New England wants to make sure they have someone who's kind of seen it all, and maybe he can help that offensive line come along.
Who or what poses the greatest threat to the Chiefs from the AFC in 2024?
Do they have enough in them that says we're going to do the same, fight, climb the mountaintop, dig in and grit their way through it again as they have before? I've got nothing that I've seen that says that they don't. Because, you know, last year, Amy, they could have very well kind of folded 10 as well. Speaking of Christmas, how bad was Christmas Day versus the Raiders? Right there, I think a lot of us were looking at that game, and I think we all at least wondered if maybe this just isn't Kansas City's year. That's the way it felt. When that game was over, there'd been a lot of battles. Maybe this is it. And then they found a way to turn it around, and Mahomes played well, but the defense led them. I'm not saying they reinvent themselves. They don't. But they find a way to have the motivation. And I think their motivation is much more somehow Andy Reid and the crew, their mindset is chasing, not defending. Because I think the teams that try to defend titles, I think they have a tougher time. If your mindset is more chasing another one, I think it's a different way of playing. Because defending, you play not to lose. Right, you play not to give up something.
Uh-huh.
So when you're chasing, you go after something. And I think that Kansas City's mindset and the way they go about their business, somehow they figured out the formula that you're still chasing. Even if we keep saying, well, they're the two-time defending champs going for a third, they focus on the going for a third. And I think that's why Kansas City is able to stay in the fight.
I think that there will be a ton of people who jump on the Lions bandwagon should they get off to a strong start, especially after being so close to getting to a Super Bowl and then the draft with 750,000 people that were there over the course of a few days. I can imagine that scene was insane. What do the Lions have to do to build on their 12-5 season from a year ago?
Just being the same team that they've been in terms of whatever, you know, the overused word of culture, knowing who they are and playing to that. The Lions, when they did Hard Knocks, Amy, I'm firmly convinced that they became a lot of people's second favorite team. Like whoever you supported, at coming off of their Hard Knocks appearance, you loved the Lions. So you loved how Dan Campbell did things. You loved what the Lions were doing. I think a lot of people kind of root for them if they're not playing their favorite team. They're not America's team because we all know who that is because of, you know, tradition. But at the same time, a lot of people root for them and want to see them do well. And I think they're able to ride that wave a little bit as well. I think that that helps them. But they're tough, they're gritty, they're determined, and they realize that they let one get away last year because they had San Francisco. You know, they absolutely did. They changed their style. They didn't finish it off. They know that's on them. Now here's their opportunity to correct that. And I think they're going to be just fine.
Can't possibly ask you questions about every team or every storyline. So before I let you go, Charles, what's another storyline or team that you're really excited to see off the bat?
Buffalo. I can't wait because I think the expectations remain the same. I'm not sure we would say that the roster, we would grade it going into season as good as it may have been in previous years. Milano getting hurt again, it really hurts them. Gets questions about the secondary. Got a first-time D coordinator in Bobby Babich who's going to call the defenses. Offense has lost firepower with Diggs. Who's going to be their lead runner? I mean, we could go on all day, right? But Josh Allen is there. And Josh Allen has not been able to get through Patrick Mahomes to get where he wants to go, but he's been able to watch Patrick Mahomes take what we would call a lesser roster of offensive players and find ways to win. I think Buffalo's counting on Josh Allen to ascend to that and be that guy, and he is quite capable. So I'm excited to see what Buffalo does this year. If you're Miami, if you are, let's see who else in that division, the Jets?
Jets.
If you're not thinking to yourselves, if not now, when, and taking on Buffalo, there's something wrong with you. They've got to feel like Buffalo's vulnerable. This is our chance to go get them. But I don't think it's going to be easy. I really don't. I think that big horse wearing 17 is going to take his play to a different level this year. And we're going to look at him and go, ah, yeah, he can put people on his back and carry them.
And whether or not he admits it, Charles, there's got to be a little motivation in hearing that some of your peers picked you as the most overrated quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm not sure where that came from or why. I can't understand that part of the motive. I know this, if I were trying to game plan, I don't know that I want to game plan with that guy. I mean, I had a former NFL head coach last year tell me, are you kidding me? I'm putting a saddle on that big horse and riding him as far as I can. And he's talking about Josh Allen. He has that capability. And I think he's at that sweet spot in his career, Amy, where it all kind of comes together. You know, he still has the full athleticism, still young enough to do everything he wants to do, but now old enough with the maturity about taking over that entire locker room and saying, all right, guys, we're going to find a way to make this all work. They tell us we don't have X, Y, and Z. Fine, we'll do it a different way. And he will be the central point of that.
Well, and adversity brings out leadership if you've got it. And so this is his opportunity to step into that void as they change their roster. Charles Davis, along with Ian Eagle, they're a lot of fun. They've got Bengals hosting the Patriots. So welcome back, Joe Burrow, in the AFC. It's always good to connect with you, Charles. Thank you so much for a few minutes.
Thanks a lot, Amy. It's always great to talk with you as well. And don't forget our guy, Evan Washburn. Without Evan, you know, we have nothing from the sideline. So me, Ian, and Evan, got to be the triumvirate, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Love
Thank
it.
Thank you, Charles.
Thanks, Amy. You take care of yourself.